It is the first Sunday of the month, and for 14 years we've had a tradition to celebrate birthdays. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? So, March birthdays? Anyone? An abundance guy. All right. All right, wait, put them up high. Everyone look around. It's okay. Look at all the March birthdays. There you go. All right. If my wife's watching, March 21st. See, I had to throw that out there that I know. All right, we're going to sing Happy Birthday to the Marches. All right, Happy Birthday to the Marches. Arch.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. I'm going to get up a little higher here because I'm short. Okay. Hi, I'm Kim, and I am the children's ministry leader of Kingdom Kids. Well, Hi, Eli. I am here to announce and just remind everybody about our Easter egg hunt. It's our annual one that we have, and it's a family event for everybody of our church family and friends. And we would like to invite you. It is on March 31st, which is the last Sunday of this month, and it's already coming up pretty soon. So we would like to invite you. We're going to have refreshments, jolly jumps, games, crafts, fun for the entire family, and an Easter egg hunt for ages nursery through fifth grade. We are also asking for pre-filled Easter egg donations. So if you could, oh, the Easter Bunny, hello. How exciting. Wow. And there will be a special visit from the Easter Bunny and friends. Wow, look at that. Well, I have to say, you are very cute, but silly rabbit, Easter is for Jesus. So, well, all right. On that note, we hope you will join us on March 31st. And Kingdom Kids, let's go.
Okay, I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to do after that, you know, like, that's about as close as I get to the Easter Bunny, but I can see you liked it, so. All right, so just a few quick announcements. Again, first of the month, we love just to remind everybody, particularly if you're new, we love to stay in contact with you. Lots of ways to stay in contact with the church, with what's going on here. We have a website. We have an app that you can load and stay in touch with everything that's going on. We've got a church email list, and obviously you can always get a hold of us at the OVCCchurch.org website. Prayer. We seriously love to pray for people. We pray, you know, Randy's always up here at the end of services to be praying for one another. We have cards in the back of many of the chairs. You can just do a prayer request that we take very seriously. You can email. We have a prayer email. Those go to the elders, and we pray regularly for anything that you need prayer for. So please always take advantage of letting us know how we can be praying for you and your family. And lastly, we love giving. Love giving your time, love giving your money. We need you as a family, honestly. That is how we function as a body, as a family together. Lots of different ways to give. There are boxes around here and in the back. You can give online. You can give by mail. You can give to anybody, to the elders, whatever. Not to me, but, you know, give me a check, OBCF, and we get it. So lots of different ways to give, but that's what we need as a body. So, and Kathy has an important announcement on women's ministry.
Thank you. It's hard to follow the Easter Bunny and Mark. But we do want to still get the women's surveys. We want to hear from you. Thank you for those of you who've turned it in already, but we'd like to hear from as many of you as possible. And also just a reminder that we have the worship evening coming up March 16th, 7 p.m. Here in the Commons. And again, it's just a smaller group of women to get together, and it's really a great time to turn our attention and to turn our adoration to the Lord. It's a great time to just come focus on Him. There's lots of byproducts of it. I think the feeling of community, the feeling of His presence, just kind of the connection that we have with Him and with each other. But really our focus is to turn our attention and our adoration to the Lord. So we'd love for you to come. There's no sign-ups. Please just come for the evening. It's 1 hour. Shiloh and Gloria will be leading our singing. So we'll have that evening together. That's it. Thank you.
Hey there.
Morning.
Men's ministry. I've got a number of things if you took advantage of grabbing a bulletin that you'll see. Soli Business Men's Retreat is next weekend in Fraser Park. You've heard me talk about this numerous times over the last 5 years. It is a ministry where men can go listen to their Heavenly Father, that they would hear Him. Brother Wayne Griffith and I will be going Friday this next week and spending about 50 hours with a group of believers / seekers of Jesus, having a terrific time. A number of men in the sanctuary today have availed themselves of this ministry and participated. Raise your hand real quick if you've been to Soli Business. Right on. Anybody has any questions, they're the best folks to talk to about what happens there. That ministry is, we do in March, June, and November each year, and the registration period for the next Soli is typically a couple of weeks after it ends, so I'm suspecting it will be the Sunday prior to Easter. I hope it's not on Easter. Anyway, Sunday prior to Easter for the June event, and I will, of course, help you understanding that. The M24, Men for 24 Hours, is in September in Tehachapi on the 7th and 8th. It's arrive Saturday at noon, leave on Sunday at noon. It's a different format than the Soli, but you're camping out, all-inclusive as far as the meal's concerned. Bring a tent, an RV, whatever you want. It's a terrific time there to get away. We're going to have a family Dodger night game June 15th. If you're interested in purchasing tickets for that or understanding the logistics of getting there, parking, whatnot, encourage you to bring your family. Men are the spiritual leader of the family, and this is an opportunity to do just that. A little closer to home, on the inside cover, the Sunday morning men's group. We met this morning on the patio like we meet every Sunday morning on the patio. This is low-hanging fruit, guys. If you're not down with all the kids and trying to get the family going and you can just get up and come to church, Sunday morning at 9, we fellowship, we watch Ernie eat donuts, drink coffee. You're lucky to get in there on one of those, but they can get more donuts. But it's a great time of fellowship. We're in the Word. And lastly, Wednesday night, we've got a men's life group on Zoom. It's at 7:30. If you're a man who's home from work and it's after dinner at 7:30, I encourage you to join us. You can see Pastor Mark for a link to the Zoom. He's happy to give it. It's a recurring link, is the way I understand it, which is something I'll need to learn from you how to do that. At any rate, once you have the link, you can just log in at 7:30. It's a terrific time, an hour on your Wednesday evening. And that's just low-hanging fruit where a man beyond the Sunday service can get involved with the other men of this church and fellowship and get to know one another and study the Lord's Word. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Well, you heard what's coming in the end of the month, March 31st, it's Easter. And, you know, we do enjoy the eggs and all of that, but really, around here, if you've been with us since we've been at church, you know, we celebrate the resurrection, right? Easter is all about the resurrection, and we love the eggs, and we get all of that, and it is an opportunity to invite, you know, people from the community and all that. But, you know, here, it's just about the resurrection and what that means for us, amen? Right? And we've been in a series about grace, and I was thinking, Lord, you're so cool how you brought us into a series of grace that leads us right into Easter, because Easter is about God's grace, his unmerited favor, and we're going to look at grace some more this morning. And before we do that, I just wanted to give us a chance to kind of reflect. Last week, we looked where, you know, Paul is dealing with this thorn, this huge thorn in his life, and he's asking God to take it away three times, and God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Right? And we walked through that passage last Sunday, and then Paul has this transformation. He goes, oh my gosh, I get it. When I am weak, then I am strong, right? Strong in God's grace. His grace is sufficient. And I don't know what your week was like. How many of you needed God's grace this week, right? And how many of you found God's grace sufficient, right? And it's great, because we saw last Sunday that oftentimes we pray prayers of subtraction. Lord, take this away. Lord, subtract this. And God's like, no, it's about addition. Let's just pray addition. Let's add God's grace into our daily life and see what happens. And when we add God's grace, we celebrate victory, right? We still go through things, and life can still be really tough. But with God's grace, we navigate it. And we find peace and contentment and joy. Everything the scripture says about how to handle trials. And it's really rooted in God's grace. So why don't you take just a moment, and we're just going to give you an opportunity just to thank God for his grace. When was the last time you said, Lord, thank you for your grace, right? Thank you that your grace is sufficient for me. Whatever's going to happen today, whatever's going to happen after church, whatever's going to happen tomorrow at work or school or wherever you're going, let's just take a moment, just in the quietness of your heart, and say, Lord, just give him thanks for his grace. Go ahead and do that. Father, we saw last week in your word that your grace is sufficient. In fact, it's made perfect in our weakness. And we celebrate that. That is something to celebrate. And so, Father, this morning as we continue in our series on grace, we want to celebrate. We want to, Lord, embrace your grace. We want to, Lord, understand what it means, how to appropriate it, how to walk in victory as we have received your grace. So, Father, thank you that your grace is enough, and we do truly do celebrate that this morning. All God's people said, amen. Let's stand together.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. By still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise of God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise. enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Heaven reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Amen. Not only does God's grace carry us through life, the incredible thing about God's grace is it enables us to come into his very presence. So God's grace sustains us. God's grace is our strength when we are weak. But it's only by God's grace that we, unique to Christianity, have the privilege to enter into his very presence. Sometimes we take that for granted, that we, by God's grace, through faith in Jesus, are invited and have the very privilege, great privilege, like knock your socks off privilege, to be in the very presence of the God of the universe in a familial, loving relationship. Well, just take a moment and just let that sink in. Father, thank you. This isn't just songs and it isn't just a religious service. This is an opportunity to be reminded that by your grace, we are privileged to come into your very presence. The new covenant grace changed everything. We're going to see that today. But Father, may we never take for granted the incredible privilege we have to call you Abba, to be adopted into your family, to enter boldly with confidence into the throne of grace. So Father, thank you. Not only are you God, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, but you're Abba, your Papa, your Father, in a very familial, paternal way. We can come to you with everything that's going on in our life and know that in your grace and in your goodness, you desire what's best for us.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm a friend. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way to bring me back to you. to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say. My desire, no one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way to bring me back to you.
Outside these walls right now, and Father, we find great comfort and peace that you are near. So thank you. And Father, we take a moment to lay our burdens, our cares at your feet. Thank you that you are more than able to handle whatever's going on in our life. Thank you for your grace, and as we open your word and look at grace once again, I ask you to speak to our hearts. Help us to understand it and then to appropriate it so that we can walk in the victory that you have designed us to walk in through your grace. All God's people said, amen. May be seated. All right. We'll start with a pop quiz today. How many of you like pop quiz growing up? Boo, yeah, wow. Boo. We got a boo. All right. Right, anxiety levels. I say pop quiz. Everyone like this. Anxiety levels just went like this. All right, pop quiz. Quiz question. I'm going to say a phrase, and the question of the day is this in the Bible? Okay. Here's the quote. Famous quote. God helps those who help themselves. This is silent. Do your own work. Thank you. Wow. Thanks, Mark. God helps those who help themselves. Very famous, right? Actually attributed in many ways to Ben Franklin back in the 1700s. God helps those who help themselves. Not in the Bible. And yet, sounds really good, doesn't it? Actually sounds like something that would be in the Bible if you didn't know, right? And you're like, wow, that's kind of cool. Where is that, like First Mark? Right? God helps those who help themselves. Why does that? A, it kind of sounds good because God's in there, right? And the word help. But it kind of, I think, why we might assume that's in the Bible, especially in our culture, is we are raised to help ourselves. See, this resonates with how we're raised. Pull yourself up, self-sufficient.
work your way into independence, not dependence, right? And so by a certain point, we're supposed to be helping ourselves function as adults in the society. And so you hear this, hey, God helps those who help themselves. Oh, dude, that's great, right? I'll put that on my wall, right? And the truth is, that phrase and what's behind it and what that can mean in your life and my life can actually undercut receiving God's grace. That meaning behind that and all that that entails and brings into your life and my life with this pull myself up and I don't need anyone and God helps those who help themselves, that is actually counter to receiving God's grace. And some of us in our walk and in our life, you might be struggling when we say grace around here, and the real struggle is that you are raised and you're still trying to help yourself. And you're still struggling with this idea of waving a white flag and asking for help. Help. Anybody here have, you know, you kind of discern that you might be lost on the road? Anyone have trouble pulling over and asking for directions? Okay, anyone sitting next to somebody who has a difficulty, right? Why is that? Why is that? Because you could be legitimately lost, right? New town, whatever. Your GPS could be all messed up, right? Some of us use maps. How many use, remember maps, AAA, right? Remember, we got some people from the maps, right? You could be legitimately lost, like no slight to your intelligence, right? But why do we struggle with just pulling over and say, hey, little help, little help, I seem to have lost my way, right? But this admission of needing help somehow for some is really an admission of inadequacy, failure, you know, and all these fears and insecurities come washing over us. What are they going to think about me? And, you know, all those critics in our ear growing up. Oh, you're never going to be as like your brother or your sister. Oh, you're never going to, right? And so we come to faith in Jesus and we're learning about grace and that God's grace is made perfect in our weakness. And this idea of helping ourselves along is actually hindering victory. It's actually hindering our appropriation of God's grace daily because we're in the way. And we're in the way because we struggle with help, the help, right? How many of you have no problem and actually like helping others, right? You'll jump in there, right? But as soon as someone say, you need help with that, oh, no, I'm good, right? No, I'm good, right? You need help moving? Oh, no, I got it, right? You need help? I'm fine. But you need help, I'll be there in a second, right? Why is that? What's going on? And we're going to see today that really this struggle with needing help, asking for help, is actually hindering the receipt and the power of God's grace in our lives, okay? So if you we've been in this grace series for about 3 weeks. Our working definition of grace so far is grace in simple terms is God's unmerited favor and supernatural enablement and empowerment for salvation and for daily sanctification, okay? So again, if you grew up in the church, we tend to put grace in the salvation gospel camp, and you got to be careful because not only are you saved by grace, you're sanctified by grace. So an appropriate prayer every morning is, God, I need your grace, okay? So you're saved by grace, but literally every morning, part of your quiet time, you can say, Lord, I need your grace today. Because grace is his supernatural enablement, empowerment through the indwelling Holy Spirit, through his word, right? The word of grace, okay? I like this. Sam Storm says, God's grace comes to us not simply once in the gospel, but as a constant and never-ceasing flow of merciful enablement and sanctifying power. So God says, you know what? You're saved by grace. My grace is available for all of my children daily, 24/7, 365. And again, the challenge for us is that we don't avail ourselves because oftentimes we're like, I got it. And, you know, and God, if I need you, I'll pick up the line. But, you know, I got this, God. Why do we do that? What? Think about that. Where does that come from? If God's enabling, supernatural enabling grace is available for every single area in your life, every single area of my life, 24/7, 365, why aren't we walking in constant dependence upon that and celebrating it? Why do we go, I'm good, I got it. If it goes left, I'll call you, right? Why is that? We're going to look at that. And there's a passage we're going to focus on in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. It says this. Since then we, it's talking about believers, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So verses 14 and 15 tell us that because of Jesus and our faith in Jesus, we have this, again, mind-boggling privilege to enter into, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. Okay? And so, again, if we have this incredible privilege, why aren't we embracing that, enthusiastically drawing near with confidence to the throne of grace? What? Why don't we just run to that? Right? Why is it that we still hesitate? And again, some of it I mentioned before. Number one, it might be, again, when it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need, right away, that kind of, again, challenges our ability to admit need, to admit dependence, to admit we don't have it all together, right? We work very hard. Social media, you know, we live in this culture where everybody's got to look good all the time, and every vacation's got to be the best vacation ever. How many of you ever been on a vacation with your family, and it was just like survival mode? It was like, who thought this was a great idea? You're fighting, people are, you know, not getting on. You're like, we paid money for this. We could have been miserable at home for free, right? But then you post it on Instagram. It's the best vacation ever. Wish you were here. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want anyone to see what we're like on vacation. But, right? We put this, oh, right, and we have this, we live in this culture where image is so important to us. And so this verse says, come to the throne of grace in your time of need. And some of us, we struggle, even though it's God, with admitting need. Now, part of that, again, it goes against this adulting in an appropriate way, because we're raised, we should be raised, to what? Become independent, to become less dependent on our parents. Right? Can I get an amen from the parents in the house, right? You want your kids to grow up and eventually, you know the Lord, get a job, maybe get married, have kids, but to become more independent, right? The upside down kingdom here, the challenge of the gospel in the upside down kingdom is that as a child of God, he wants you to remain absolutely dependent on him. That's what we call the upside down kingdom. And when you flip it, and as an adult, as a mature believer, you learn dependence daily, the victory comes. It's when we flip it back to independence, because I'm a grown man and I don't need nobody, that we actually short-circuit grace. And now it's all about me again and what I can do in my own understanding, in my own figuring, in my own thinking about it, right? Problem solving. So number one is it kind of goes countercultural. The other reason that we might have trouble approaching the throne of grace has to do with your view of God, right? So if verse 16 says, hey, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, right? You might be like, I ain't going in there, right? You imagine, right? Let's draw near to the throne of grace. Hey, Marvin, come on, let's go to the throne of grace. The what? The throne of grace, man, come on. He's like, are we allowed? Right? Because you might have this picture of God, right? And with all respect and sovereignty of who he is, that rather than reverential fear, which is the fear of God, you're scared. And you see God as the big angry tyrant in the universe waiting for you to mess up, lightning bolts, angry, just, and you're like, I'm not going in there. The throne of grace? So part of it, if you're going to receive God's grace and it's found at the throne of grace, right, you might have to work through your view of God. Your view of God. Chip Ingram says this, what you think about God shapes your whole relationship with him. Think about that. So if I give you a piece of paper and I said, okay, draw a picture of God. I bet in a room this size and everyone at home, man, we would get all kinds of pictures. And some of those, maybe most of them, would be an angry God. I don't know how many, if I would have said, draw a picture of God, I don't know how many smiley faces I would get. We might get a judge, a principal, some kind of law enforcement, right? Your view of God profoundly impacts your willingness to come to the throne of grace. So it just kind of helps to understand that grace, when you say, God, I need your grace, you're asking for something from him. That's who he is. It's his character, okay? He's not an angry God, and you're like, hey, can I get some grace? He's like, here, right? Some of you think that, right? You're going to come to God. You're going to ask for grace. He's like, you again, right? Dude, really? Your allotment's used up, Isaac. Hit me up next month. You used up. You know, some of us think that, right? He's this angry. You ask for grace, and you're just like, oh, again, okay, man, when are you going to stop needing grace? If that's your picture of God, it's not going to make you want to go into his throne room, is it? Right? So Exodus 34, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and what? Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and what? Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. In the New Testament, it says this. 1 Peter, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So if you're going to walk in victory through the power of God's grace, you might have to camp there. And maybe you're challenged with receiving God's grace because you're challenged with asking for help, admitting you need help. Or number two, you're challenged with your view of God. And you're still, you sounds really good, but I don't want to get my head bit off. Right? And there's a lot of reasons for that. Your own relationship with your dad or whatever might have happened with that. And now you're calling God Father. And so if you had a very generous, compassionate, communicative, loving dad and you could come and talk to him and share everything with him, sure, you're going to understand this God of grace that the Bible talks about. If you had the other end of the spectrum or dad wasn't even there, I get it. This could be way challenging. Right? I've shared with you before over the years, I know my dad loved me, and yet my dad was very quiet. Provider, get up at 4:30 every day, hear him with my mom having breakfast, and he would leave. And he was a provider, not real talky, right? We'd do vacations and all that. But me and my dad didn't have this relationship of sharing. I didn't share my life with my dad, right? And I know he loved us, and I know he took care of us and all of that, but he wasn't raised to be real chummy and real affectionate either. So I get that, right? And I share, and this is no slam on my dad, it's just the truth, right? I never heard my dad say, I love you, to me. I never heard those words verbalized to me. I knew he loved me, you know, give me gifts, da-da-da-da-da. But we didn't have that relationship where we'd say, I love you, son, da-da-da-da-da. And that's why when I became a dad and five kids later, I make it a point. You know, I say, I love you all the time to my kids. But I didn't have that. And so I come to faith, and we're singing these songs, draw me close to you, and we're, you know, and I'm, man, people are praying like God's listening, and I'm like, they're pouring out there. I'm like, this is cray-cray. They're talking like God, like, loves them, and God wants to hear their stuff and their mess, and God, they can sing love songs to God. And it took me quite a while as a believer to really work through my relationship with my earthly dad and how that was impacting my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I get that. Okay, so if that's you, give it time. Work through it. Okay? Remember, our theology, our truth is based on the Word of God, not circumstance. So you got to come back to these verses where it says that God is gracious. And you got to figure that out because the Bible says God is gracious. So He is. Okay? And so this gracious God, in Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace," right? So we can approach Him. And here's the thing. Here's what's crazy. This drawing near, approaching God, this invitation to come in, many of you are familiar. How many of you will date yourself? How many of you remember the Ten Commandments with Moses and that Charlton Heston, right? Remember that? Back in the day, like in the 70s, right? So you remember that God at Mount Sinai, right? And this real angry, big God, right? Well, this idea in Hebrews 4 that we can come into the throne of grace is just, it's like upside down craziness, right? In Exodus, remember at Mount Sinai, it says this, "You shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it." This is when Moses was going up to Mount Sinai. "Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death." Right? It's like, you got to respect God. God is holy. God is all powerful. You touch that mountain, you're toast. Right? A lot of us have that view of God still. Right? And then remember the Levitical system, Day of Atonement. Only one person can come into the Holy of Holies, right? The high priest in Leviticus 16:2. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover." So Mount Sinai is like, hey, you know what? God is so holy and unapproachable. You touch the mountain, you're done. Levitical system, hey, only the high priest, one day out of the year, can go in there. And if he messes up, he's done, right? And we kind of have this view, some of us, that God is still like that. Well, I can't go there, right? I grew up in the Roman Catholic tradition, so there's the priest, and I'm just the laity, and the priest is the one that does everything, right? Well, in the new covenant, here's the crazy thing. We're all part of the royal priesthood. And you can't, don't gloss over this, because a lot of us take this for granted. In the new covenant, we have access to the throne of grace. It's crazy. And coming up to Good Friday and Easter, right, we're going to see this, Mark 15, Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Symbolically, that means through Jesus, we can get in. That's crazy. Crazy. Right? Hebrews 10, by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Amen? Amen. That's nuts. In the new covenant, because of Jesus, the veil is torn, and Father says, come on in and get my grace. That is revolutionary. That is revolutionary, right? This is where it completely, it's the upside down kingdom again, because, you know, I was raised to be independent, not to bother my parents, not to mooch off my parents, right, pay my bills. And so I wake up and I leave the house and go to work and don't want to bother Dad. And now under the new covenant, Dad's like, hey, come here. Come here. Come here. 24/7. Come on in. What do you need? What do you need? Yeah, crazy. And I want you guys to really understand that this privilege, unique to followers of Jesus, unique to followers of Jesus, to enter into the throne of grace is absolutely mind-blowing. When you pray, right, if you prayed this morning, you were believing that the God of the universe was listening, weren't you? How crazy is that? Remember, the word pray is pros uhomai. Pros means before. The word prayer means to come before God, fully aware that you're in his presence. So every time I say, hey, let's pray, it's not just words. It is like us becoming fully aware that the God of the universe is right here listening. Amen? So when you're doing that at home, isn't that crazy? You come into the throne of grace in your living room, in your car, at work. It's mind-blowing. Absolutely stunning, right? And then it's crazy because this word confidence. Okay, so when it says draw near with confidence, we got to look at that word. Now, through Jesus, you know, we can feel pretty confident in the normal sense that it's through Jesus that we have access. But that word confidence actually means more than just feeling good about going there. The word confidence means the freedom to say all. Some of us would say permission to speak freely. Boldness, unembarrassed, to pour out your heart. So here's the crazy thing. Because of Jesus, veil is torn. We have this privilege to enter into the throne of grace to Father. And confidence means I can let her rip. I can say it all. Isn't that crazy? Like permission to speak freely. He's like, go ahead. Go ahead. He already knows anyway. But you and I have permission to speak freely at the throne of grace. And again, that's different because some of us were raised in formal training where it's rote prayers and very formal and very, right? And so your prayer is right? In the new covenant, when it says come to the throne of grace with confidence, it means come to Father and let it all out. Permission to speak freely. Warren Wiersbe says this, when you are free to speak, then there is no fear and you have confidence. A believer can come with boldness, same word as confidence, to the throne of grace with openness and freedom and not be afraid. We have this boldness because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What is it that you just can't tell anybody on this planet? What is it that every once in a while comes up and you're like, I can't. I can't go there. I can't say it. Maybe guilt, shame, regret, embarrassment. What it is in your life, in my life, that I just can't say to another human right now? My encouragement to you, go to the throne of grace and say it right there. That's what it means. You can go to the throne of grace, be completely unafraid to speak freely. And I encourage you. When I learned this and I learned this, some people would be pretty surprised if they saw my quiet time. Because it isn't really nice all the time. Some of my quiet times are like in the Psalms when you read like, Lord, really? Lord, don't you see this? How are you allowing this, God? Why? Right? See, I'm privileged to have kind of a work where everyone can leave. They go to school. So I had the house to myself. Kind of nice. Except sometimes I wonder if the neighbors are like, what is going on in there? Because sometimes in quiet time, I let her rip because I'm angry and I'm hurt and I'm confused. And I let Father know because according to this, I can speak freely. And it's not disrespectful, it's just free. Right? Can you do that? Okay, I'm going to say this again. He already knows. Like, oh, I can't say that. What, you can't say what's in your mind that he already knows? The freedom to speak freely is for your benefit and my benefit. Because, again, we live in this culture where it's all about image and you're not saying the right, the wrong thing, and you got to be worried about what you say, and all these keyboard warriors, and you got to be all da 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 da, and we're all walking around like this. can't say anything. If I say one thing wrong, boom, right? The crazy thing is, at the throne of grace, let her fly with reverence and respect before who it is. You can be honest. You can come clean. You really can come clean. A lot of us are carrying guilt because you're hiding something. What are you hiding? What are you hiding? Nothing is hidden from his sight. That's in Scripture. Come clean. Start this way. If you can't do it this way yet, start this way. Because in my life, my experience, when I started this way, little by little, I started to do this. God would bring one or two guys into my life, and because I had gotten to the place and where I was more comfortable sharing what was going on really with my life, not the sanitized version, but the real deal stuff, when I started getting more comfortable this way and receiving God's grace and forgiveness this way, suddenly I went this way. And I could test the waters and kind of take a risk to share, hey, man, can I share something with you? Right? And that's where God's grace comes in. Because it's not only grace this way, but then when he brings people into your life who listen and genuinely care about you and give you counsel, that's his grace. That's a manifestation of his grace in who he brings in your life to come alongside and not do this, to do this. That's God's grace. Right? So he says, and it says in Romans 4:16, we can come, we can draw near to the throne of grace with confidence. We don't have to be scared. And again, the application, what are you scared of? What are you hiding? What's the deepest secret? What do you feel the guilt and the shame and the regret and the remorse and the shoulda, woulda, coulda? Start at the throne of grace. Bring all of that to Father. And begin to let him heal you, forgive you, right? Here's the crazy thing. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's freeing. Because if you're in Christ, you're forgiven. There is no longer any condemnation. And so if you're carrying stuff and the enemy is condemning you and accusing you and keeping this oppression on you, bring it before God. Get it out in the open, right? You wanna like remove the power of the secret? Get the secret out. That's the power of a secret, is that it's a secret. Get it out. And the first place to get it out is at the throne of grace. Get it out at the throne of grace and ask God how to handle it. Blah, 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 blah. Father, what should I do? I need your wisdom. I need discernment. What does your word say? How do I deal with this? Who do I need to reconcile with? How do I make this right? Start there. And then when he tells you to do something, do that. Okay? That's the power of the throne of grace. And then you go there freely, permission to speak freely, and it says, we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So it's not just like, I'm going to come and dump. You're going to get some mercy and grace. Right? And so just kind of a help with these words. Actually, there's three words, justice, mercy, and grace. Here's a great kind of way to distinguish them. Justice, getting what you deserve. Mercy, not getting what you deserve. Grace, getting what you don't deserve. Right? And I was thinking of that, and I'm like, okay, I get that. And then I thought, you know what? That's kind of me growing up. You know, with my parents. You know, I was overall a good kid, but there were some times I did things, and I got what I deserved. Right? And then there was a whole lot of times where my parents showed a lot of mercy and I did not get what I deserved. Anyone? You did not get what you deserve, right? And then grace. I think of my parents and even my siblings when I would like just do my craziness. I would get what I didn't deserve from them. Love. Forgiveness. Right? And that's God. Right? This is grace. We find mercy. Mercy, that word means a compassion for one's suffering, which is so great that it moves the compassionate one to help, right? Mercy is God's kindness and goodwill toward the miserable and afflicted. joined with the desire to relieve them. So when you and I come to the throne of grace and we're pouring out our heart, understand that God's mercy wants to relieve your pain. It is a God of compassion and mercy that is being moved to work in your life to bring healing and restoration and reconciliation. He's not just like, and then what? And then what? Right? Again, a lot of us think of God as this cold, unfeeling, right? God is mercy. So when he says you find mercy, what you're finding is a God who sees and experiences and knows your pain and wants to intervene on your behalf. That's pretty cool, right? That's the God of mercy. And then grace, right? Again, we've been talking about it. We find grace, supernatural enablement in these areas when we pour it out. But here's the thing, and here's how we can, maybe again, another hindrance to our receiving and appropriating of grace, pride. Someone said, pride is the death of grace. James 4. He gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That word opposes, it doesn't mean he just doesn't like it. That is a very strong term. In fact, that word opposes is a military term, which means to bring up the battle, bring up the army in battle array, ready to do battle. So when he says he opposes the proud, it's a military term where God is saying, okay, here we are. It's a battle term. That's how strongly God feels about pride. About pride. Right? One definition is pride's a false estimate, of yourself, which manifests itself in arrogance. Right? I don't need grace. I don't need God. In fact, I had a friend in college, a roommate, and I had just become a believer. And we were just talking, and he's a real nice guy. I'd been a roommate with him for 3 years before I came to know the Lord. And we were just talking, and he didn't mean it in any mean or any way. He just said it matter of fact, I don't need God. And I understood what he said. We were both at UCLA. We were both going to law school after we graduated. He's a good-looking guy, smart guy, come from a very successful family. In his mind, I don't need God. Why? I'm fine. I got my life ahead of me. I got my plans. I'm going to succeed in the world's definition. I don't need God, right? And that's the pride that God opposes, this self-sufficiency. One guy says this, gripped with a false sense of self-sufficiency, he regards himself as the standard of excellence and disdains those who fall short of the standard. It is an attitude of self-glorification, an attempt to disown his dependence upon God. Pride. It's not like we're walking around, you know. I'm not talking like that. Some people do, right? They think they're all that in a bag of chips, right? God's gift to humanity, right? Might be pride. What we're talking about pride here is like, I'm good. I'm good. Right? Really, right? We all, whatever your fear is, I'm good. Don't need help. Right? Self-sufficiency. We can't humble ourselves to admit our need. And that word humble is actually interesting. When the Bible says humble yourself, it does not mean beat yourself up and rail on yourself. A lot of people think that's humbling yourself is like, oh, you got to talk really negative of yourself. You know, then I'm really humble because I'm a loser. Da, da, da. No, that's not being humble. If pride is a false view of yourself, humility is a realistic, truthful. You're just being honest with who you are. To humble yourself is to have a realistic assessment of yourself. Bottom line, he is God and you are not. That's the starting point. Just be real. If you want to be humble, be real. Honest assessment of who you are before God, right? That's the basis of humility, okay? And then it says, right, we'll find help in our time of need. And we're going to circle back to this help like I started. Because again, some of us, our challenge, even out of pride now, is to ask for help. Is to ask for help. And that's hindering grace in your life. But I think of the psalmist, and look at what the psalmist says, Psalm 38. Do not abandon me, O Lord. Do not stand at a distance, my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. Right? Psalm 70. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Please hurry to my aid, O God. You are my helper and my Savior. O Lord, do not delay. Question. On the scale of help and willingness to ask for help, even from God, where are you today? Are you still struggling, resisting, asking for help? And why? What are you afraid of? Why is asking for help, even from the God of the universe who loves you and is merciful and gracious, why is it still such a challenge for you to ask for help? What's going on? And for some, that's the starting point. What are you scared of? Right? You're scared of what he's going to think about you? He's the one asking you to ask for help. He's the one ready to give you grace when you... He's going to answer. That word help means we call, he answers. Right? It's like a lifeguard. Help! Boom! We're on it. He's waiting for us to cry for help. Question is, why won't we? What are we so afraid of about admitting, waving a white flag, that I need some help here? Right? And for some, if you'll work through this, you're going to find great freedom. You're going to find great freedom. Right? Some of us, when we were starting the church, we were kind of, you know, not, we didn't have near as many people. And so sometimes we would say, hey, can you pray at the Bible study? Right? And even at church, people get so self-conscious. Betty, I've seen you grow through this, right? I don't know how to pray. What do you mean you don't know how to pray? You know how to pray. What you're really saying is, I'm afraid to pray at the Bible study because I'm afraid of what people are going to think about me. Let's just call it, right? You know how to pray. You're just scared of what people are going to think about you, even in the church. Even in the church. And so sometimes we won't go to Bible studies. Sometimes we won't sing out loud. Sometimes you want to put your hands up and be demonstrative, even in worship. Some of you, like, are wanting to be more free. Some of you want to be so free in worship, but you are so consumed. Like, we're singing to the God of the universe, your grace is enough. And you're like, what is that person behind me thinking right now? Some of you during worship are more concerned about Ernie and what he's going to think about you than the God of the universe. Thank you. Where is that coming from? Right? There is no condemnation in Christ, and yet we come to worship the God of the universe. We're just facilitating worship and praise to the God of the universe, and we are so consumed with what the people behind us are thinking. Oh man, if I put my hands up, they're going to think I'm charismatic. Oh, right, yeah, right. If Ernie starts dancing up and down, we're like, whoa, I know. It was so cute. Ernie, Sally, his wife, when he first started at the other church, she would get up and dance once in a while during worship. And we're like, security! We've got a dancer! I appreciated her joy, and, you know, God is a God of order, and we get that. But sometimes we take that way over here, and control becomes fear of man, right? And now we're stifled, and we're no longer free even to receive God's grace because we're more concerned about what the person next to me and in front of me is thinking about me than freely worshiping the God of the universe, right? So you got to work through this. I'm just sharing with the privilege we have through Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. I'm just putting it out there, but you're going to have to work through this when you get home. Like, okay, throne of grace, how do I view God? Am I adulting? Am I independent? Am I pride? How come I can't ask for help? This is sanctification. This is what you take home and wrestle with. This is what we do, okay? This is why we do this. And then finally, here's the crazy thing. Not only when it says find help, so help is a cry for help, that word help also has this crazy nuanced definition. It's a nautical term, and I've shared this with you before. And the same word help is used in Acts 27:17, and it says this. When the men had hosted, they're talking about a ship that's in a storm, and the men are afraid that the ship is going to be torn apart. Okay, that's the context in Acts 27. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Sirtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. That word help is related to a nautical term called frapping. When you frap a ship, you throw ropes literally 90 degrees around the ship to hold it together in the storm, right? So that the severity of the storm doesn't just like blow this thing apart, right? It's called frapping, and it refers specifically to a rope or chain frapping a vessel to keep the beams from separating, to draw tight, lashed together. Here's the crazy thing. That's the term, when you come to the throne of grace, God wants to frap you, which means this. He wants to wrap his arms around you when you feel like you're going to come apart at the seams. You come to the throne of grace. You confidently let it all out. And God's grace says, I got you. In this storm, I got you. Right? Show them the picture of the storm, Chris, right? What's your storm? And when you come to the throne of grace, God says, I got you. That's the word help. When you come to the throne of grace and you find help, not only do you cry out and he responds immediately, it's a frapping term. It's a nautical term which says, you know what? I know you think right now your life is about to come apart at the seams, but I got you. Some of us, you come to the throne of grace, you pour out your heart, and all you need is to sit there long enough and let God over and over hold you. You don't need a lecture. You don't need even another Bible verse. You just need to sit with Father and let him hold you. And you stay there as long as needed. And you recognize all this storm is going on, but Father's got me. He is wrapped. Right? As the Bible says, no one can snatch us out of his hand. He's got us. He's got us. And so I want to encourage you. Take the time to understand the incredible privilege we have to come to the throne of grace through faith in Jesus. And if you're hesitant and there's resistance, maybe fear, anxiety, work through it. Find someone. Honestly, this is where you find a believer and you say, hey, Mark, can we go out to coffee? Randy, can we go talk? I'm struggling with my view of God. I don't think God likes me. I grew up and I think God's angry at me. I don't know about this gracious God. Can you help me with that? Right? Hey, Mark, you know, there's stuff I feel guilt and shame and condemnation about. And I'm trying to work through it with God. Can you be someone, a safe person I can just kind of bear my soul to? See, when we keep it in, we also give a space for the enemy to bring accusation and condemnation to things that were already forgiven. But because we're holding it in, he's twisting it. You see? You did it again. You call yourself a Christian. Psh! What if everyone at Sunday knew? Right? And it gets in our head. Some people stop coming here because they get so twisted that they can't be here anymore. because they can't be forgiven or whatever. They have so much guilt. No, come to the throne of grace and find brothers and sisters in Christ that will sit at the throne of grace with you. Amen? That's what we do, okay? So, Ben, you guys can come up. We're gonna sing a song before we do communion. Mark will come up after this song. I really wanted to give you a chance. If you're at a place where you need help, come to the throne of grace today. I don't know. Don't compare. There's no, it's just. No, it's if it's a need, bring it to the throne of grace this morning. Like right now. God's like, you know what? We got to do this right now. Don't just talk at them. Give them a chance to come to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace right now. Amen? So if some of you need to cry for help, cry for help. If you're at a place that's like, God, I don't even know what to do. I'm so spun. I'm at the end of myself. I've tried everything. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I'm confused. Say it. Here. Right now. Bring it to the throne of grace. I need help. I don't even know if I'm saved. I need a savior. Bring that to the throne of grace right now. Find grace. Find Jesus. Today. Whatever it is, we want to sing a song based on Psalm 121. It says this, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So, Father, thank you that through faith in Jesus, we have this incredible privilege to come to the throne of grace, to find mercy and grace in our time of need. Some of us struggle with this help thing, whether it's pride, whether it's past experiences, I don't know, but you do. So we come before you this morning. Maybe the first place to start is that we need help. And some of us maybe have never seen you as a gracious God. You're the angry God. So maybe today we come to a gracious God who wants to give us grace, who is merciful. And then, Father, maybe some are in a storm right now, and this frapping term means a ton. And so they just want to sit at the throne of grace this morning and let you wrap your arms around them. And remind them in the storm that they're facing, you got them. You got them. So whatever it is on your heart, just come before Father now at the throne of grace to find help.
My eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. Oh, how I need you, are my only hope, you're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, come and give me life. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the
Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this little piece of plastic here, it has some juice in it and it has a little wafer. But this is the key. This is the key into that throne of grace. This is the celebration of our entrance into that throne of grace. This is the remembrance that Scripture tells us to do this, to remember, to celebrate, to rejoice, to stand in awe of what Jesus did. One of the quotes, I think it was Warren Wiersbe, said that it is the shed blood of Jesus that allows us to do everything that Richie just preached about, that gives us that freedom to come with confidence into the throne of grace before the God of the universe and to be loved and accepted and frapped. I don't remember him talking about that before, but I'm never going to forget that. I want to be frapped by God. And you can be frapped by God through the blood of Jesus. So and Richie talked about this briefly, but I just want to just lay it out, you know. I mean, this remembrance, this celebration, this key is for believers. It's for people who have said, yes, Jesus, I want you as the Lord of my life. And if you've never made that choice, never made that decision, you can do that right now. In your heart, right now, you can tell the Lord, you know, Lord, there are storms all over me. My life is a mess. I'm a mess. I want you to be my Savior. Please come into my heart right now and save me. You can make that choice right now. And if you do, you can take this key and get into that throne of grace right now. So we're going to do this. I wasn't here last Sunday, but we're going to do this a little bit differently than we've been doing for a long time. So in just a minute, we're going to have just kind of some worship music playing in the background. And all of you, come up and get the key, okay? Get one of these keys, take it back to your seat. And we're going to do this all together, okay? Normally, we kind of send people back, and in your own time, in your own way, go ahead and open and take the blood and take the body of Christ. But we're going to do that all together. So when the music's playing, come on up, grab one, take it back to your seat, and then I'll just kind of lead us together as a body, as a family, through taking the blood and the body of Christ. So come on up. Scripture tells us that it was his body that was broken through crucifixion, physical, painful, horrid crucifixion on the cross. And it is blood that was poured out that gives us the forgiveness that has led to, through his death and through his resurrection, the forgiveness of our sins and the freedom to enter the throne of grace. So, Father, thank you so much for loving each one of us so much that you sent Jesus, your son, to die in our place to forgive us and to bring us into your throne of grace. Jesus, our friend, our Lord, our Savior, thank you for the decision you made, your obedience to the point of death, to the point of your body being broken and your blood being shed to forgive us. And Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us to bring to our remembrance, to convict us of our sin, to pour out that grace and mercy that we find so freely in the throne of heaven. Thank you for living in us and bringing that reality to our lives. So go ahead and take the body and take the blood. Lord, we praise you. We love you. We honor you. We thank you. You are awesome in every way. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. God is good, and all the time. All right, well, we're going to celebrate that God's grace is enough. We're going to close with that song. So I want to encourage you, celebrate. Just thank God, and just let it fly that God's grace is enough. Why don't we stand together and sing Your Grace is Enough?
Your grace is enough.
tonight. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough for me.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.